I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Pocket Buds, a back pocket podcast where I talk to my best buds about video games and stuff. This week is a brand new year and the gang's coming back from a big old break. ...2023 saw the beginning of a little podcast that could. That podcast, you guessed it, it's Pocket Buds. When we started this thing, I wanted to create a podcast that tried to do way too much for no reason. It had to be funny, it had to be interesting, it didn't necessarily have to be informative, but if you learned something, sorry, or you're welcome. When I joined Back Pocket, the idea to start a new podcast wasn't at the forefront of my mind. But like a moth to a flame, I ran headfirst into a bunch of services, shaking my brain around in my skull until I eventually found my way to starting Pocket Buds. Thankfully, Gus and Pete were not only fully on board, they also gave me a helmet to prevent any further brain damage. Ultimately, I just wanted to flex my audio production muscles. Sure, some could say that there are too many video game podcasts, and others could say that there aren't enough. I'm perfectly in the middle, where I think that right now there are just enough and we don't need to start any more. All done.
Thank you very much.
Pocket Buds exists as a space for not only conversations with friends, but very specifically conversations with friends about whatever they and I care about. And it just so happens that the vast majority of the time, it's about video games. I love video games, you love video games, the creature that hangs around anytime I'm recording this podcast loves video games too. That's right, creature, video games are neat. But that's 2023, and 2023 is over. It's time for a brand new year. This year, it'll be much of the same, but also different stuff too. New games, new news, new friends, and some old friends too with new things to say. So with a new year coming into play, there's plenty of Animal Crossing New Horizons to explore. There are all sorts of new games coming out, so many tales of the past that are yet to be discussed, and not to mention all sorts of events that haven't even happened yet. Maybe somebody will discover a new and never-before-seen member of the Kong family. Auntie Kong, perhaps. The possibilities are endless. All this being said, what better way to start the year than by getting the team together to talk about the year that's coming, the games that are already out, the potential video game controversies that could happen. Joining me today to predict the future is most of the Back Pocket crew, Pete, Gus, and Josh, as well as a beautiful framed picture of Steph that is visible to all of us, but not to you. How are we doing, boys?
Good. Excellent.
Very good.
Lovely intro.
Thank you.
I like the reflection on the podcast itself at the top of it. It's quite meta.
Yeah. I like to think that we can make references to the thing that we're on.
Yeah. It's also a really awkward time to tell you we're cutting it. So, yeah.
Cutting it down by like 10 minutes?
Oh, right. It's less work.
Yeah. What a relief.
yeah. It felt like it was a whole year of podcasts, but yeah, it was technically
it started
only
in August.
Yeah, it was 6 months, but a lot of content. So
yeah,
a lot of interesting friends of yours that you've introduced to the show or to the team.
The thing with like a weekly podcast is it kind of feels like you're releasing a lot of stuff because you are.
Yeah, it's a bunch of content. Yeah. It's also a conversation every week. Imagine having a conversation every week. Audience at home, I want you to imagine talking to a single human being for an extended period of time once per week. Yuck. Ugh.
It's also all the time.
It's like we've added another, because part of Backpocket is like finding a guest now, which we really enjoy. But it's a stressful thing to try and find people who are available and who we know and that might be fun to work with. And yeah, it's kind of cool to, we've added another version of that in Pocket
Buds.
I was trying to say.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
But you're on the show.
At least, again, in the wonderful world of podcasting, we can get them to dial in. But you've had a heap of them in the studio and people to actually meet and greet, which
and it's
is.
It's been so nice having people in the studio. But as well, like, I. Because I've made a lot of friends far and wide over my years on the internet and got a lot of friends in America, for example, and being able to have them dial in and have a chat about wrestling games with Eric, talking about the year 2023 with Zalavia. Like it's a treat to be able to do that. Technology is amazing.
It is so powerful.
And then we start the season with just all of us on the couch in the room being like, oh, we're all here. We'll all just jump on and just
Josh, still technology happening.
Get on a plane and go to America right now and then dial back in.
Yeah, and you guys are going to pay for that, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's coming out of the Pocket Buds budget.
Yeah.
The Pocket Buds budget.
If you, like, what if, hypothetically, like, there was a situation in which, like, a cool new ride opened at Super Nintendo World in America?
No.
Okay.
Every write-up or review or, like, person who's gone there to make some content around it, it's always so... It's that same tone of, I came here, it's clearly for young kids. I enjoyed a little bit of it, but I felt a bit dead inside as I noticed that everything here was smaller and, you know, people are impressed with it. Is it in Universal Studios?
Yeah, Universal Studios, Hollywood.
But there's the one in Japan as well.
Yeah, I only know about the one in Japan. I didn't realize there was one in America.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not in Hollywood, but it is in LA, baby.
Yeah.
All I want to do
Anaheim.
Is have some fun.
DMCA.
Thank you, Josh. That's why you're here. Either way, no, we're not sending you there to go and see one like crap Goomba ride or some crappy Koopa roller coaster.
You'll have to do Universal Studios as well and California World.
Yeah, I'm happy to do all of that. You know, I'm a hard worker.
I like you pitching this to them with an audience.
Yeah, exactly.
Let Ruby go. Let me tell you this. If anyone's going to go to America to cover a theme park, it's me and I'm going to Star Wars Land in Florida.
No one else
is invited.
No.
Oh, well, what if I came with you because I'm so good at having conversations once a week?
You are good at that.
Aren't they axing it or downsizing it or something about Star Wars Frontierland? What's it called?
No idea.
Galaxy's Edge.
Does that mean I need to go right now?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's the hotel.
Yeah, they're renaming it to Galaxy's Goon. Is that anything?
I don't think so.
What's
the correlation between edging and gooning?
Let's.
Oh no, we've half had this conversation before. Let's not. Because immediately I'm like, goon is
a
goon
bag,
but it's not.
That conversation.
Yeah. I want to finish the point.
Yeah, neither do they.
They got rid of the hotel. Oh my God. They got rid of the Star Wars hotel that was overpriced and really underwhelming, I think. Okay. That thing that you'd go into that had no windows.
Yeah, and now they
Will has turned around and he's furious.
No, he's giving me a thumbs up. He's saying they ditched the hotel.
Now they want to open up a Mickey Mouse maternity ward.
You can feel the heat coming off that thumb.
You're crying.
The photo I saw was terrifying.
I hate that. You're crowning.
I think it's good.
Maybe if it was like one of the, it was semi-themed maternity ward or hospital where all of them have like big white, it'd be Patch Adams-y kind of like, you're like, no, now is not the time for this, Mr. Mouse slash Goofy.
Gorsh, wait. Gorsh. Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
New year, new us.
Yeah.
Right? Do we do everything that we wanted to do last year in terms of... resolutions?
I don't ever set resolutions. I apologize.
I forgive you.
Yeah, it's just not something I'm into because I'll never meet them.
Yeah, I don't like setting goals for myself.
Yeah.
I want to happen upon them.
You know, my life philosophy hasn't come from New Year's resolutions. It's come from Happy Gilmore and the idea of playing it as it lies and where the ball lands on that big guy's foot and they're like, play it as it lies, and Happy has to play it. Oh no, the other guy has to play it. And then Happy has to play as it lies after the water tower fell over the course and he still sinks the putt. I'm like, playing it as it lies, that's a good life philosophy.
So our takeaway is that Peter watched Happy Gilmore over the holidays.
I didn't.
Oh, really?
It just has stayed with me.
I mean, it's no, stayed with all of us.
Did you watch...
This has been his life.
What is it?
Since I watched it.
Seven Crazy Nights, is that the one? Or Eight Crazy Nights?
Is that the one where Drew Barrymore can't remember anything?
No, that's... That's 50 First Dates.
50 First Dates. Sorry.
Isn't that like the one with the zombies in the Antarctic? That's 40 days of night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the one with Cameron Diaz and Tom Cruise? That's Night and Day.
Night and Day.
I can do this all day, baby.
You're thinking of Day After Tomorrow.
No, you're thinking Edge of Tomorrow.
We're back to Tomorrow.
There we go.
Good night, everybody.
We came all the way around. Well done.
How about, because I remember in the main show, we kind of had a bit of a chat about games that we missed last year that we wanted to play during the break.
That was all lies from me. I was never going to play games over the break. There were games I definitely wanted to return to and do over the break. And then holidays were, for me, a break from video games. So I definitely didn't find myself with the time playing anything.
So you're not a true gamer?
No, of course not. But the only thing I did do was and I've already harped on about this to Pete, but I bought a Backbone at the Boxing Day sales.
Okay, you need one.
It's spine. It's never... No one says get a Backbone, do they? They say get a spine.
Grow a backbone.
Grow a backbone?
Yeah, yeah, they say grow a backbone, but you're spineless.
Spineless.
So what that does?
I'm not backboneless anymore. It's basically it's a controller that clips onto your phone. It's been fed to my socials for a long time, and it finally went down from, I think, like 170 down to 110 or something. I was like, yeah, it's good enough. So I bought it and chucked on my phone and just suddenly went nuts on mobile gaming, or what is essentially
it's
like...
It's played so much solitaire. It's crazy.
Nuts. No, all the Netflix... Like, I have Netflix. All those games that are like Spiritfarer, Dead Cells. Right, yeah. Heaps of games that are like really top level games. Yeah. And then a couple of mobile ones. Like, I played Warzone and stuff. Like, I played a bit of COD on it to see how well it worked. And then I got really into... I got some third-party software on my phone that does a bunch of emulation. And so I was playing...
Thief.
I was playing Game Boy games, actually.
Can I say something controversial?
Yeah, please do.
I think all emulation is morally justified.
Me too, yeah.
I think, especially in this day and age where so many game streaming services will put stuff on their service and then take it off, or game providers will cut off all access to their games, so there's kind of no easy or cheap legal way to play their games. In that case, and in most cases, but in that case especially, I think emulation is morally justified.
I might be wrong in this, but I think it's generally, for me, if there's someone that's losing out on money because like a developer or a company that's still making their game and could be making a profit off it, I won't emulate it. But things like Super Mario Land on Game Boy, no one's making any money from me. Well, no one's who worked on that is making any money from me buying that. So yeah, I just booted up a bunch of
Game Boy
games.
Nintendo want to make money on that game by putting it on the
subscription service,
which
subscription
I have. E-store thing.
Yeah. So yeah. There
and
we
use.
Go.
Covered. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I own physical copies of every game I've ever emulated.
Yeah, me too. We all do.
I've got
Officer.
Yeah, I've got drawers of physical copies of every SNES game that I uploaded
myself onto my computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just played emulated games and mobile games, weirdly enough, but it was cool.
Nice. Sick.
Yeah.
How about you, Pete?
I can't remember what I put on that list, my two games, but I did play through Phantom Liberty, the Cyberpunk DLC.
How'd you like it?
I loved it. It got me really back into the Cyberpunk lore.
Did you start fresh or did you just do the new?
No, I took my character through, my V through. It was effectively starting fresh because all of my points, my stats had been refunded.
Yeah, you could
so I needed to do a new build because the entire setup was different. But yeah, I still had Meat Hanako and Embers burned into my screen. But yeah, it's a really good condensed version of what the broader game offers and doesn't live in isolation either. You can go back and you go back out into the Cyberpunk main Night City, so you don't just feel like you're being shoehorned down a thing. It's part of the living, breathing world. The thing that really...
Hey, don't go back there until you finish this quest over here. That kind of DLC that you're like, but I want to keep playing the main game.
Yeah, like Witcher takes you to a different island kind of thing. And it's like, you're on that island for this DLC. And it's like, no, it's all part of it. And I didn't really experience this because I didn't play through the main campaign again, but they have changed the dialogue in the campaign, re-recorded like scenes that have... that makes sense were influenced by the goings on in the Dogtown DLC as well.
That's
which is
cool.
Really cool that they've got characters that are like, oh, that, you know.
I guess I wonder how necessary that is if it's like, it's as a flavorful touch to it, it's great. But if there was something someone says now that is at odds with what happens in the DLC, potentially it's good to go back.
It's more like you interact with characters in Dogtown that are in Night City that are aware of Dogtown. So it's just little touches, but it's just, again, really good world building, really good detail. And I've just consumed, I read a cyberpunk book after playing it because I'm like, I need more.
Yeah, nice.
And the book was fine.
Another update too, right, where there's even more like companion scenes and their stuff.
I saw that, like, it was IGN, I think, flogged over the break, like when content is scarce. They flogged a bunch of YouTube videos, which was just whole relationships with characters in Cyberpunk.
Mm. So it was
from Go to Woe, like a full... And I was like, why is this popping off now? But apparently, yeah, I'm assuming it's because they added more.
The thing that you can do, that mods were doing already, but you can invite your partner across to whichever apartments you own and go, let's go and hang out.
It all seemed far less about...
But you do it once and then it's like... There's no graphic sex scene or anything.
Well, that's
like
what
that.
I mean. It was all less sexy. And so what's the point? Like, it was all more just like, hang out. You want to go cyber bowling? It was like, it was just, hey, do you want to lie next to me and stare at this character? Which I was like...
I will say the first time you do it, it is really delightful. And again, it makes perfect sense in the tone of everything that Cyberpunk does really well. But then you invite them back a second time and there's nothing new to have a conversation with them about. And it's like, oh, okay, that was a one and done kind of thing.
Welcome to
and
my
they
life.
Harass the shit out of you. They do, welcome Nico, would you like life. To come bowling? They're like, oh, they're texting you and like, we haven't hung out in a while. It's like, I saw you two nights ago. I'm trying to save the world. F off, Judy. It made me hate my lover.
Wow.
That's sad.
It didn't actually make me hate my lover. Anyway, Cyberpunk. It's great. Yes, it
and you?
I didn't actually play that much either. I had Dredge on my list, I remember, and I started a new game and played it for like an hour when I was in Queensland, but I didn't get much further, yeah.
Yeah, I had that on my list,
too. I did play, because one of the things I did do over the break was move the rest of my furniture to Sydney, including my big, nice TV. So I was able to play...
Unpacking?
PS5. No. Well, moving IRL out? I did, yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
No, I got the Uncharted Thieves collection and played through that on the like high refresh rate. I had to go through a whole bunch of hoops to get the TV to do it, which was also fun for me because that's the tech shit.
That's all that stuff. Oh, yeah. Installing downloading a driver on your PC, putting it on a thumb drive, TV. Plugging into the USB port on the TV. It's the wrong USB port on the TV. You need to go into the firmware upgrade port. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that stuff.
It's fun. But it looks beautiful, obviously. Yeah.
Time for my adventure. Nah, I'm good.
You're on your own. I just had my adventure.
I've been desperately trying to get PlayStation Remote Play working on my iPad. And every time I do, it's like, no. Like I log in, it's like, doesn't work.
Internet speed or just like what, leaving the console on?
It literally just like, no, the Surface isn't available right now.
I found mine really, to my phone, really good. In fact, the remote play on the PlayStation seems like it can turn it on remotely, which is wild. Like that's something that usually all that stuff needs set up and already pre-running. But it can,
let me log in, which is crazy.
Yeah, on the same Wi-Fi, I guess. Yeah.
Same Wi-Fi, just doesn't let me log in.
I should add, speaking of remote play, I've been doing cloud gaming as well with that little backbone thing and doing stuff, which it limits the game you can play, even on an iPhone 14 Pro, big, nice, clear screen. Still, games are made for a TV. So when you're trying to read like text or all that kind of stuff, tell you what does work though.
Porn.
Oh, God. I don't know why I paused.
Yeah.
I was expecting no one. Fishing. So I now was watching TV. Or the other day I was reading while I was... Oh, no, reading was on the big screen. But I was watching True Detective while I played fishing at the same time, just reeling. I was in a good spot. There's a lot of Atlantic salmon. Just reeling them in, getting that XP up while I was watching a show. Mm. And then the other day I played fishing with a book. So I did bait fishing, which meant you cast and you got to wait sometimes 2, 3, 5 minutes. So I'd read a few pages and then my little tink would go off and reel one in.
That's awesome. Have you ever caught a fish in real life and ate that fish?
Yeah, multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, did it with some rainbow salmon earlier last year.
Was it nice?
It was delicious.
That's cool.
Did tacos. Did fish tacos. Anyway, I digress. Nice. What about you, Ruby? Really what did you play?
This holiday break was... when I got into Baldur's Gate, and now I'm just deep in it.
That's scary.
I love that game so much. But
you said it's scary?
Yeah.
That I got deep into it?
Yeah, just from your personal time perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm really struggling to play anything else just because, like, of how good Baldur's Gate is. And it's the thing of, like, I've missed out on so much in that game that I kind of have to do a second playthrough because, like, there's so much to do in it. And I just skipped over a bunch because I'm like, time is of the essence, and just kept going. And then found out that, like, time only really moves, like, pretty slowly and, like, after big events.
Yeah, sure.
And so I just missed out on heaps
of
shit.
It's tied to narrative beats as opposed to actual. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And so I goofed up. I goofed up. I goofed and gunked up. And so
hey, you played it your way, which allows for replays.
Fast and confused and
not a little bit scared and severely underleveled for where I am right now.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, I'm like, I just got to Baldur's Gate. I was talking to my friend about it, and they're like, yeah, cool. What level are you at? I'm like, I think like 7 or 8. And they're like, oh my God.
Just flee every fight. And
no,
sneak
I fought. Past. I fought. I've been.
Have you?
It.
Do you know you need to click on your character to go and upgrade them now?
Yeah. No, it's because it's just because I missed a whole bunch of stuff in Act One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Like full-on interaction.
I had that feeling when I think I'm going to pronounce the name wrong, but the horn people, the
Tieflings.
Tieflings. Thank you. That's kind of like the first story beat that progresses once you make a choice with either the dark elf and you can move.
Yeah.
You can help them. You can fight. But it was still interesting. Once that had happened, it was such a epic battle at the front of their gate, and I finally did it all in a really good run, and everyone survived. And they're like, the story has progressed. I was like, I want to go back and do some stuff. And I'm like, I definitely don't want to do that fight again. Yeah. But it's such a nice thing. A game like that doesn't hold your hand to the point that it lets you feel confident about moving past things, about missing things, about failing roles and stuff. Yeah. So it's like one of the best things about that has been the yes, there's scum saving, but it doesn't force you back there. Yeah. You kind of feel like when a decision is made, it's a narrative choice.
Well,
so
that's the thing with the tieflings. It's like I saved them when they were at the Emerald Grove, like when they were with the druids. Like yeah. I saved them, and that was so slay. And then I got to Moonrise Towers after they had been kidnapped and were being held there. And I thought I could save them after I did the big Moonrise Towers battle. No, you finished the Moonrise Towers battle.
I'm gonna spoil it, I haven't got there yet.
Well, it's not really a spoiler. It's just letting you know.
It's been out for years.
I just can't get over how different
2024
Friends' playthroughs have been.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They won't shut up about a particular character, and I'm just like, I killed that person.
Yeah.
Like immediately.
Yeah, as soon as I
and
met
so
them.
My entire playthrough, like, I have not had that. Like, I haven't had that person as part of my playthrough for so long, and that's all they talk about.
Yeah, my housemate bestie wife is playing right now, and I was like, who's on your party? And she showed me who, and I was like, oh, have you met Karlak yet? And she's like, yeah, I killed Karlak. I'm like, what do you mean?
Karlak, you do meet under sort of some rather violent tendencies.
People tell, like, you meet people who are like, you need to get rid of Karlak, she sucks. And then you meet Karlak, and she's like, it's kind of...
Lots of a little horny head?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the cage right at the start?
No, that's Lazel. Who is rude, but also really.
Oh,
annoying.
I have. She's the one character I was like, nah, I don't want
really
to hang out or talk or do anything with you. Like, I don't know. She just
I
seemed
think her character design super cool, but she's like real mean.
Yeah, I just was like, no, I want people who want to be here, and she didn't want
to
be there.
It
so
ended up being a bug, but in my playthrough, she was like immediately horny.
Yeah. Same.
That's not a bug.
Same.
No, I think they said it was a bug. I'm pretty sure they came out and they were like, they shouldn't be that easy.
The only thing
I think they smoothed it. They smoothed some of them so they weren't as horny. And I think that included Gale. And that's what I'm leading myself to believe because I refuse to believe that he's
Gale,
not swayed by me immediately.
We were saying earlier, Ruby, like Gale's voice actor is one of my favorites, I think. Like whoever that is, they just have such a bold, comical, booming voice that it's just I did not expect it coming from that character.
It's
and
so
I was
iconic,
like,
but he also sounds like a wiener, which I love.
Yeah I don't quite get it, although yeah, he was around in my party and his death summoning explosion, all of that was very confusing to me to the point that I was like, I don't think I want you around. Like, your benefits do not outweigh your difficulty.
I love Peter just looking and smiling knowing
I've got no clue. But I was thinking the whole time, by the time this goes to air,
yeah,
we will have had our Thursday night stream, yeah, and yes, I will understand everything you're talking about.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Some of what you're talking about.
My only thing that I never gelled, that hasn't gelled with me, and I've fallen off it, like once I got through the fungal people caverns and came out into a dark forest on the other side.
Never met him.
Yeah.
Didn't go into the
fungal people cattle? Did I go look at Logan Pick Up Again?
Shut up.
I went Mountain Pass Way. Not only did I go Mountain Pass Way, I went straight through Mountain Pass Way to get
to the temple and stuff.
No, you should have come through the caves. My cousin Balin.
I tried to go to the creche and it didn't let me in. My little dream demon was like, no.
That's what I wanted to bring up. Like where I'm at in the story, I still don't know what is going on with my dream person who just, there's this character that you create who's a second character.
I've made a character and then it was like, now make
And
are like
really helpful, horny, paramour. Confusing in your dreams. And I'm,
I assume it's very much Act 3 stuff.
Totally, but it asks a lot with that character.
Is it like a Revan?
Semi-past it, but I won't say anything.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I went into the Underdark once. Beat that big eye and tried to get to the top of the wizard tower, then met the scary robot who, no matter what I say, he's like, you die now. And so I, and it was really strong, so I just ran away. And I was like, well, I guess this is not
like
the way
D&D.
For me.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it sounds like TV writers writing D&D. It's like, I'm going to roll to get to the top of the wizard tower. Oh, that robot's going to stomp me. Which you're like, oh, that never happens in D&D. But I'm like, that totally did.
I was doing so well in the wizard tower as well. I turned into a cat to get to a tight spot. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, loving Baldur's Gate 3.
Steph is going to be so upset that we talked for 20 minutes about Baldur's Gate
3. No, it's good, because otherwise it's sort of in a 50-minute conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I also played some more Hello Kitty Island Adventure, of course, because they are constantly updating that game. Yeah. And it's
you should
so
get a
sick.
Backbone for it.
Does the backbone fit on
an iPad?
Are you
playing on iPad, don't you?
I play on an iPad.
Yeah,
you can probably get an iPad backbone.
Ooh, that'd probably make some weird
I actually find the touch controls of that game to be a lot more comfortable than a controller.
I can imagine. It's not
because sometimes I'll like have it in bed and I'll connect my Xbox controller to it.
How many times have you dropped your iPad onto your face?
Never.
What?
Never.
I've done it
because I never hold it over my head because like I don't want my arms to get tired.
How are you playing iPad in bed?
Propped up?
On your side?
Propped up or on my side?
Propped up. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You should get one of those. Didn't Kmart sell out of the phone holders that you can put next to your bed? Or clip. It's the one that you put around your neck. It's like a stiff bit of metal that you can clip it in. And people were like, "This." They were $6 from Kmart, and suddenly they went on TikTok once and they sold out like crazy.
I already have enough neck pain from carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Fair enough. So, and this podcast,
The weight of an iPad as well as the world.
Exactly. Yeah. All with so much Hello Kitty Adventure on it. So
can you? You can't. Hard. No, you can't screen share that to a TV and use a controller or something.
Probably with AirPlay.
Apple AirPlay.
I'm just curious.
But also it has cloud saves. So I've got Apple TV, so I could probably like just play it on there. But I like it on my iPad.
Oh, totally. I would totally josh it and be like, I want to set this up to do it in a really unique way. All right, now I'm bored of this.
It's like I'm kind of like Mama Bear because like everyone says the baby bear was just right. I would argue that Mama was just right because it's smack bang in the middle. So for me, the Apple TV is the Papa Bear of playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure in the sense that it's too big. Mm-hmm. And the iPhone, for me, is the baby bear of playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure in the sense that it's too small. So the iPad mini, to me, is the mama bear of playing Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Hang on, cold porridge?
For me, it's
because technically, and let's dive deep into this because we've got time. I'm with you on that. And the size of the bed, doesn't she start? I think. She start the baby bed too small?
Sleep in separate beds.
Yeah, but is the choice that she makes because she picks a bed? She picks a chair and she eats porridge.
Yeah.
And I would think that if, from memory, she picks one of each of theirs. So I think the bed, like she takes the baby's bed because it's just right. The chair, she takes the daddy's bed because it's the daddy's chair.
It's always the baby's.
Because it's big and soft. No, and the porridge,
it's always the baby's stuff.
There's too cold and there's too.
It's always the baby's stuff. Because
stop saying daddy.
Daddy bed.
Yes, please say papa.
Papa?
Papa
porridge? So does she just gank Mama Bear's everything?
No, she ganks baby bears everything.
It's always baby.
Yeah,
it's always baby bear.
Dad's because too she's hot, a mum's little too cold. Girl. Baby's smallest.
Just right.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
She's a little girl, so she's the same size as a baby bear.
Yeah. Have you seen the Puss in Boots most recent film, Last Wish?
The Last Wish? Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, my God. The bear storyline in that? Beautiful. Lovely stuff.
So good.
Good stuff.
That is a great story.
Speaking of Ruby's iPad enrichment time, actually, I've had my own.
No screens at the table.
In the last week.
With
Plants vs. Zombies 3.
Yeah, that shadow dropped, didn't it?
It's when I get into bed, then I get the iPad out.
Yep.
And then I'm playing Plants vs. Zombies for like another 2 hours.
Are you?
How many times have you dropped an iPad on your face?
Never.
I've started
phone
that on
a lot.
I've started that on phone, and it definitely has the failings of like where mobile games are now. It's like it has a hub world and you build the area and and you earn tickets to progress stories and stuff. Does the game actually get challenging? Because I'm still on I'm on level 6 and it's still tutorializing it pretty hard.
It is. And what I liked about the original, because I actually, because of this, I downloaded the original again on Steam and been playing that on PC. Nice. It's not.
I play Peggle frequently.
I'm big on Nonogram Galaxy.
Ooh.
It's a great game.
The puzzles on the Plants vs. Zombies 3 are very tailored.
Yeah.
And they're tailored. And you don't get to choose what plants you bring. And I'm at level 60 or 70 or
really?
Something.
And it's always
here. It's still pre-selected plants. And that means, the puzzles are purposely made so that you can do it with those plants. Yeah, so there's an element to that which I like.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
It's a puzzler now less than a tower defense.
Less than a base defense, yeah.
Yeah.
God, I miss those first
two
games.
Animations and the art in it is amazing.
All those EA, PopCap. Mm. What was the fish one called? Feeding Frenzy.
Insane Aquarium.
Insane Aquarium?
That was one of my favorites.
I've never even heard of that.
Or Fishdom?
There's going to be some people in the audience who are going to...
Call the Wild the Angler? Anyone? I cannot for your arcade fishing games. I want boredom with my fishing.
But I also did a little bit of Xbox cloud gaming. Oh, cool. Because I was cat-sitting at a friend's place and I didn't bring any consoles with me.
Are we talking iPad with touchscreen controls or are you plugged
in? No, they had a Samsung TV. The newer Samsung TV. It
has the app.
Yeah, it's just got the Xbox app and then you connect a controller up in it. Wirelessly.
They had good internet?
Yeah, they had great internet.
Oh, wow. And because I've got good cable, decent cable, with their good internet, any pixelation, any dropouts, any judders?
No pixelation, one dropout while I was playing Fortnite.
Okay.
That's it.
Fortnite!
I love Fortnite. Big Fortnite head. I've got Peter Griffin. It rocks. Holy crap, Lois.
It exists.
Holy crap. No, I can do Lois. I can't do Peter.
Damn.
But holy crap, Lois. I'm in freaking Fortnite. Anyway.
But the cloud gaming held up.
It held up. I played a bit of Tin Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Which was that little...
It was a VR game that ported to controller.
I think
version. It was a VR.
Very cute, very slow. I kind of got bored.
Fair enough. Just Lemmings.
Played
a bit of...
Yeah. Yeah, basically Lemmings. Played a bit of Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, which is the roguelite
sequel to Turnip Boy commits tax fraud.
It's neat. I played the demo ages ago and I started playing this. It's lots of fun. It's repetitive, but it's cute.
Is it doing that thing that Shovel Knight did where it's like, hey, we have a character and it's a very different genre with the same art style and character?
Same art style, same characters, different genre.
How did you find Fortnite though? Because that's kind of like the game that, Tin Hearts and that doesn't matter if there's
you're talking about
latency,
how well it plays.
Yeah. Whereas it does for a game like Fortnite.
Did you notice,
because obviously you play a bit of Fortnite at home, did you notice a difference?
It felt
a bit
really
laggier?
Well.
Or?
It played really, really well. The only time it lagged, it completely shut down. But
you weren't feeling a little bit of input delay and stuff, like you move a controller.
No, it just straight up froze. And then close the app.
I just mean when it was working, did it feel like you would put an input and there'd be some delay?
Not really, no. It was pretty good.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Good.
Yeah, good. So is it still called, it is technically still called cloud gaming if you're playing off an Xbox and you're not downloading a title. You're just playing
it. Yeah, it's just streaming it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, I played all of Bugsnax. I completed Bugsnax doing cloud from a wired Xbox, and that once or twice had a bit of pixelation, but it was very playable. And I picked that game because it felt like it would be fine.
Yeah.
Like I found on my phone moving around the house, occasionally I'll get a little bit of that kind of weird ghosting framing and it catches up and that's, but that's using Wi-Fi on a device.
It could be your local network, yeah.
I would say potentially that. But either way, it's still kind of impressive that we're finding ways to make it just actually do what it says on the box, which is, yeah, especially with the Samsung TV, that's wild. Like,
it was awesome.
And if it's multiplayer gaming too, like, that's pretty crazy.
That's my other question, yeah. I wonder, like,
the latency from the cloud servers.
Could you ever talk to people in party chat, like, in theory? Could you plug a headset?
The cat didn't want to play with me.
Yeah, can it replace your Xbox entirely if, like, you want to play Rocket League and chat with two mates? Could you?
You'd probably Discord on your phone or something.
It has got party. It's got, like, the Xbox friends party list chat and stuff.
I'm pretty sure it can do could.
Party chat.
How would it would be Fortnite in-game chat,
through the controller.
Yeah, maybe you have to.
Yeah.
I also played a bit of Sea of Stars, which I'm still playing. I think it's so cool. I loved Chrono Trigger, so anything that's Chrono Trigger like, I really enjoy, and I think they've done it and then some.
I finished that over the break. I had saved like the last stage.
You're saying, yeah.
So I never finished it last year. So I did finish that, and I finished it on my TV, which was
how does it end?
Apparently not great. Non-spoiler reviews were like the game is amazing. The way it ends, probably, I don't want to say disappointing, but just like doesn't hold up to the game is.
I think narratively, the ending sort of
shits the bed.
I wouldn't go that far, but I feel a little underwhelmed with how the story resolved.
Sorry, really quick. I would say a shot is probably worse than a shit.
No. Because a shot is a half fart, half. It's like when you almost
a shot is a fart that you think is going to be a fart, but turns out to be a shit.
You've got shit in your bed.
Yeah.
But one is you've been deceived by yourself. Yeah.
The other one is you accidentally
shits the bed. They're like, I'm shitting in my bed. Whereas the shot is like, oh no, I was watching this horror game in my pajamas. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh, you were saying.
I didn't shout when I was playing Sea of Stars. But there is a portion of the game, and there are sort of major milestones in the game where it does turn into a little bit of an open world thing where you can go and revisit places and go through stuff again, and there's a bunch of optional side quest stuff. I did all of that. Like, oh no, I just did what I
You're
hate
fine.
Hearing. No, I did what I hate hearing in the thing where you guys touch the microphone and hit
pick
it.
Pick up, pick up. So, okay, everyone hold it. I went and did all of that. That's what we're picking up from.
No, it's fine.
We're going to pick up. We're going to cut it out.
Leave it all
I'm editing
in.
This.
Leave it all in. Okay, Ruby's got it. Anyway.
On three, two, and action.
I did all of that.
Nice.
Oh, sorry. I smacked my microphone numerous times.
Leave like all of that in. He did look like a cat.
I am the only one that edits this podcast.
Yeah, I'm telling you, leave it all in.
Oh my God.
I did all of the optional stuff before the final boss battle. But even after you finish the main story, it does that sort of thing where it says, here's a save from right before if you want to go do some other stuff.
Should we?
But I liked it, but the narrative did feel a little bit underwhelming.
Yeah. I just played a game recently, which wasn't 2023, that did have the, you're about to go to the end game. Here's your warning screen. I'm like, from a game designer perspective, that must suck to have to put that in there because it is such a
It wasn't a warning in spoilers. Sea of Stars, I will say. Like, it was, you do the thing and after the credits roll, it's just like, here's a save from before that you can go back and do some extra stuff.
Yeah, I'd even just think the announcement of it feels like
That happened after the credits, but I know what you're saying.
It didn't interrupt the flow of the game.
You were literally building to a climax, and then it's like, hey, by the way, you're about to climax. Do you want to say?
Or would you prefer
to just heads up, buddy, you're about to come.
This is the edging episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. It didn't interrupt the notification
in your body.
It didn't interrupt
the side quests before climax.
Yeah. I've seen it, obviously, Cyberpunk's a huge one that does that, where it's like, if you progress right now, you can't go back.
I think it's more of the way, I'm sure there's been examples of characters being like, are you ready to take on this adventure? Versus, it is usually a big square box that pops up and says, do you want to keep going? And it's like, finished it?
Well, there's a thing.
We can talk about that later.
Every time I finish a game, and then it gives me the option to like go back before the save and finish anything else off, never do it. I'm very much like I finished the game. It's done now.
Yep.
And the only game that I haven't done that for was Undertale. And it was because replaying after a certain point is the key to getting like the true pacifist
some ending.
Right.
And that's the only time where I felt it really had harder effect on me. Because I mean, that's my favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
And for so many reasons. one of the reasons is having that pacifist ending and then having that true pacifist ending.
Like you've got such an investment in that world, whereas like what I'm talking about is it often is hitting at a point where quite literally it's like we are like the design of the game is crescendoing here. It's like even if I did want to go and do those things again, you've caught me at a moment where I'm heading towards a finale. Therefore, like it's the last thing I'm thinking
about. The boss just ran through that door. If you follow, you can't go.
Or do you want to go back and collect a bunch of gems? You're like,
you go back and the boss is just behind the door, kind of like crossed arms, just waiting.
I'll be back in a month.
Just killing momentum.
Yeah, it's a Rolex.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Whereas like I'm not going back and doing that. I'm going to finish the game. In the climax, I'm going to have a cigarette and tell the game to get the f*** out.
Yeah, and I also played a bit of Power World, which I'll say...
Well, that's a this year game.
Completely short. We're going into this year now.
Mm. Save that for the main other episode.
Yeah.
That's good content.
On Thursday, this is.
You think so?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, but I don't want to play it again.
Yeah, why would you? It looks like f***ing dog shit.
So many people.
You don't have to play it again. You can just save your opinions of it.
I don't have much of an opinion.
But that's an opinion in itself, Ruby.
But then I wouldn't talk about it much else. I can't really expand.
But we like
on
that
because I want to hear about it on the
that's
show.
That's the entire show.
About on the show. I'll play a session of it as well, and then we're gonna chat.
Do you want to play together? I think it's multiplayer.
Yeah, but I'm only going to play the Game Pass version because I'm not paying for it.
Yeah, I'll play for the Game Pass. I didn't pay for it either.
Yeah, good.
I played it on PC Game Pass.
Let's do it.
All right.
But I'm going to play on Xbox because on PC it runs like
doo-doo.
And I put like down the settings to look.
There's a broader conversation about Power World and it makes me hate gamers.
Mm. Yeah.
But we can talk about that on the show.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about it on the show, but coming into the new year, it's 2024, baby. And of course, I feel like over the next few, you know, like Back Pocket Tonight apps, we'll probably talk about like games coming out this year, what we're excited for. But they're most likely going to be games that we've already kind of talked a little bit about that we're very clearly very excited for. For example, me and Princess Peach Showtime. Like that one's like an obvious big one that I'm going to talk at length about.
But also to plug, what we do and what we will do at the start of this year as well is do our Pocket League where we all pick games that we are hoping will score well, and that usually means that they are big budget or hyped or indie darlings and stuff. So yeah, that'll be a conversation, the first step we do, where we'll between all of us, because I think everyone in the studio, Will, Josh, you like joining us for it, we'll cover probably everything that's coming out that
literally every game.
Every game, because there's not that many announced this year.
It's gonna be a 34-hour episode, the first one.
There you go.
Well, and the thing with Pocket League is like it's not just like a what we like, but it's also an estimation of what we think is going to rate well.
Totally,
and
it's a combo of critics and audience, or just
critics? it's just open critic, just critics,
because
the audience don't know what they like.
No.
They need to be fed.
And that's the thing. So like with this kind of, you know, mini segment I've got here, I kind of want to talk about the games that not so much we don't think will rate highly. Sneak under the radar and that we're personally excited for. And I'm going to start because this one is a sequel to a game that came out on the 3DS that was hands down my favorite game for the 3DS. And then we have not heard about it since, up until the Switch.
Tell me there's a new brain training game coming.
It's a new brain training.
Yes!
No, it's Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time. So Fantasy Life came out on the 3DS and it was a level 5 game. Mm-hmm. Very, like, just didn't create big waves, which confused me so much because I thought it was just absolutely delightful. It's one of those like RPGs where you've got a bunch of different classes you can choose from. And those classes can be both fighting classes, like, you know, paladin and wizard and archer and stuff like that. But you've also got like the creation classes, which are like cook, tailor, angler, like all these different, you can
Gus
fish.
Was so bored and then suddenly
I saw his eyes light up. But like it's
say
and
more.
What I really loved about, like, obviously there was this overarching story which I thought was really delightful,
which sorry, just to clarify, like I'm not calling it but generic fantasy kind of adventure game, is that what we're
not,
talking?
I wouldn't call it generic,
but it's an adventure
game. It's an RPG, sorry. Where you know you're this nobody that comes into town and changes.
You're an angler.
You're special.
Yeah.
You're also a tailor. You're also a baker. You're also a paladin. You're also an archer. Well, that's what I really loved about that game was that
multi-role.
You could jump cool. between classes. And if you mastered one class, that'll help you do stuff in two other classes.
Okay.
And
nice.
Everything okay. kind, all the classes feed into each other in different ways, which is really, really sick. And I loved that game. I bought cool. the DLC for it, and I've never bought DLC for a 3DS game except for that one. And it was so special and so cool. And
is this an outright sequel, or is it a remake, or is it a kind of spiritual
I'm
sequel?
I'm pretty sure it's an outright sequel.
Cool.
Or at least a third game, because there was also Fantasy Life Online. It was a mobile game that didn't.
It I was, mean, right. as a title, might be a great game. That just sounds like trash. Fantasy yeah. Life Online, the mobile game.
Yeah, just
nothing
did
is
nothing.
There.
Wasn't yeah, okay. I didn't. Yeah, I didn't want to.
So. Is it a big series? Is it a JRPG?
Is it JRPG? It's not. It's not a big series. It like the first game was on 3DS.
No, but I meant like, is it big maybe in the East and not as huge over here?
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But I know that Fantasy Life Online was only available in Japan for a long while.
Yeah, okay.
But Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time, is the new game for Switch. It is Switch exclusive.
Nice.
And I am so excited for it because I want to jump back into that world. The visual design of it is so bright and blocky and beautiful, and I love multi-classing in a way that one directly helps the other because it feels like there's a path to go down, like, oh, I'll be a baker and then I'll be a paladin and then I'll be an angler and then I'll be a tailor.
This is how we should pitch your jobs here at the office. We should be like, hey, Ruby, we're going to get you multi-classing.
Yeah.
And everything we get you to work on, like, it will feed into, no, I know, but we'll dress it up like this and be like, you've now leveled up your other skill set here that'll feed into this other
You're
job.
A master in podcasting and now you can
you
start.
You can cook.
Yeah, now you can cook.
Hey, let's go fishing.
Nico, let's go bowling.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, I'm so excited for that game. It just looks absolutely delightful. I was like, the last one was my favorite game on that console, and I really hope this one slays. I feel like it will.
It could be a nice last hurrah to your Switch.
Pretty much, yeah.
If the Switch 2 rumors are finally coming true,
yeah,
we might hear more about that.
But then also, you know, Princess Peach Showtime, Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door remake.
That'll
There's
be
a
shit.
Lot of stuff for Switch.
There'll be a long crossover with those.
You're wrong.
So bad.
Wah, wah. Pete, what are you keen for?
I played Bears in Space at PAX last year. It is an Australian-made game.
I did a panel for them.
Did you?
I moderated their panel.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And it is a first-person adventure shooter. And in the style of like a High on Life kind of thing, it's a very comedic setup. And from the vertical slice that I played, there's a lot of fun guns to play with. There's a lot of fun design. Every level kind of has something interesting that it throws at you that's colorful and reminiscent of, you know, the 90s shooter game design but with a modern feel. So
it's kind of Doom-esque.
It's Doom-esque, yeah. It's definitely about being bright, colorful, and comedic. And because it's Australian, all of the comedy is working really well for me.
Yes.
Like, it's a 30-year-old. Like, it's my age demographic grew up with the same reference points, so some of the little nods that it has in it, I'm like, eh.
Did you play High on Life?
I played High on Life. I didn't finish it.
I did.
And I was enjoying it.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was enjoying it. I think I found the ultimately, like, the quote-unquote open-worldy parts of it just not that inspired, you know, a little bit boring to traverse and platform around, but I liked the focused parts of it.
Yeah, the different guns felt really cool.
Yeah, totally.
It feels really, it's a game that feels really good to play.
Yeah.
I loved any time I got to hear Michael Cusack say anything, because I love that man. He's so funny, and getting to just pull out a knife and have it be an Australian guy who loves to stab, I think is very funny.
Yeah, look, yeah, that didn't, I mean, I didn't love that character, but.
You didn't like Knifey?
No, I didn't love Knifey.
I loved Knifey.
It just felt like one gag. But that's a little bit like in the Roiland-esque writing of like...
Is this the comedy in Bears in Space? Is it adult, but is it like cheeky in the sense that it's trying to like take the piss? Or
yeah,
it's
Australian piss take.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That definitely gels better with me than the High on Life.
Yeah.
Roiland repetition stuff.
Obnoxious, like, repetition to the point of it breaks the joke, therefore it's funny. So
yeah,
I get
which
what
I think,
like.
Which I think mostly.
Oh, no,
mostly
I mean, like, up. I'm first of all, how dare you? second of all, I love Michael Cusack. I think he's really funny.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me wrong.
There were a lot of like Roiland bits that were so obviously written by him that I found just like
what
beating the horse that had already shown up dead.
Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of we'll move on from this, but I think a lot of people attribute all the comedy in Rick and Morty, but it's it's Dan Harmon. And it's all the clever writing done with a crazy voice taken. Even
there's also all the rest of the writers on.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah. Whereas Roiland on his own can only flub until it dies.
Flubba wubba dub dub.
Yeah, which is funny a few times, but yeah, this looked. I was just looking at some screenshots. This looks very aesthetically bubbly.
That's super cool. Awesome. Yeah, and yeah, again, the thing that surprised me even in just that small vertical slice was that there were multiple instances of walking into a space and going like, this is a new bit designed just for the next 5 minutes of game, and it's fun in its own way, and you're not going to do anything else like it for the rest of the game. It's just a bunch of ideas that play really well into the whole thematic kind of setup of it all. So there's a space.
And Gus, how about you?
I just have been keeping tabs on the latest or the next South Park game that's coming out, South Park Snow Day, which seems like a bit of a left turn from them. I think it's from THQ Nordic, but it's like South Park's been hitting it out of the park with the
Ubisoft friends.
Fractured Butthole
and the Stick of Truth.
I loved them. I thought they were great. Honestly, yeah.
And
perfect.
The reason they're great is because they did that thing where they translated the look of the show so perfectly into a game because it is so simple. The writing's there, the sort of tongue-in-cheek way they took the piss out of games and stuff, which was a long way from the old South Park games I used to play on N64, which was the South Park game, South Park Rally, all these things where they took those 2D sprites and they horribly rendered them in a weird blobby, low poly sprite.
And they've done it again for Snow Day.
And they're like, you know what, let's do that again. And I'm like, okay. They've done it in a way that when the characters are face on with the camera, they have like flat 2D eyes and stuff so that can replicate the 2D nature until you need to move around a 3D world. That's art style aside, I've been curious about what this game actually is because it looks like a mobile game. It looks like a bit of a hot mess, but apparently it's a PvE game that's a co-op for you and three other friends. It's no PvE. I thought it was a MOBA at one point. I thought it was like a Smite style.
Are you PvP?
No, it's PvE.
That's what you said. You said
PvE.
You said it was PvE, but it's no PvP at all.
There's no PvP at all, apparently. It looked like a kind of third-person MOBA. It looked like it had tower defense to it. I still don't quite know. The information's quite limited. And again, the art style and the power-ups and everything are obnoxious, but it kind of looks like they wouldn't charge ahead with this unless they found a cool little gameplay loop that was really fun. Mm. And in that sense, it does look like a dumb, fun mobile game that I actually might waste a lot of time on. They're doing the thing where they're throwing back to all these old references from, like, I want to say, like, naughty South Park, where it's like Cheesy Poofs and Mr. Hanky and stuff that they have not touched on in the show for, like, 10 years. And they're, like, they're going back to the retro South Park games, which pulled on all the crap crash
Nintendo
references.
64 one.
Yeah. It was terrible, but it was bad. I played the crap out of it. So anyway, I'm curious to see if it's any good, what actual style of game it is. But it looks like, sort of you run around third person, you have three other buddies with you. It's just making crass references from the show. But the writing and the voice acting's all there. There's a little story under it all. It's the kids playing with their different factions all saying, we want to play this game instead of that game. Get out of my backyard. And I don't know. I just, it looks dumb. And I'm kind of up for that.
Yeah. I will say I hope that UB still has some rights to the South Park games because I would love another one of those. Third. I just think Stick of Truth was awesome. Fractured Butthole was awesome. I don't know what else they could do.
I don't know where they can go with that.
Vikings.
They were so good. But I also find it very interesting that in terms of like the kind of turn-based battle system, Stick of Truth and Fractured Butthole had the exact same, well, almost the exact same transformation as Mario Rabbids and Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope. Mm. Because Mario Rabbids and Stick of Truth were both grid-based, turn-based systems. And then in the second game, both of the second games, it became more of like an open movement.
A little battleground area.
Which I find really interesting.
Yeah, I fell off Fractured Butthole. And part of it was because the well had kind of run dry for me in terms of the adventure they were telling with the kids make-believing something. So I actually don't think a third game personally. I like that they've gone, let's take a weird drastic left turn. Let's make a kart racer or let's do something dumb and video
gaming. Bring back pinball games.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I would like the idea of it. I don't know if I could play.
I don't know what it would be.
And I don't think them, it would have to be like I'd like to see them do like a town builder or a, you know, I think everything they touch turns pretty much to gold, like with the South Park name currently. So I think they could do something different. And that's what I think this dumb game is.
Would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow Day?
snow day. There's a blizzard. They don't have to go to school, so they all work out. Like, it's a huge snowball fight, essentially. Yeah. So it's a real pairing back of, like, intelligent game systems too. I think just like, you know, AoE attacks and, you know, lobbing your character around. There's a fart jump. It's like, but I like the idea that they've gone back to something really crass.
So. Yeah. I thought it was a game that already existed. And I think it's just because those graphics are so harking back to the 64.
They're kind of abrasive to look at, but I'm curious to see if it can hold up as a game style with that.
Yeah.
Joshua. I barely know the big releases coming in 2024, so I had to hunt a little bit for some others. Mm. But I think I remember seeing, because we've covered a lot of games on the show last year, and there was like one particular episode where we downloaded like 120 game trailers or something. There was like three festivals or something that happened or showcased.
It would have been a T3 and then the
also Gamescom, I think, as well, was rolled into
one. I think I was still at Kotaku at that time because I remember doing like the world's longest trailers article.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
It was one of our longest episodes of the year, I remember.
Good stuff.
We bit off way more than we could chew. But I think I saw this then or around then that there was a trailer for Duck Detective, The Secret Salami.
That's the
Secret Salami.
And it's like a gritty, like, 1920s, like, PI sort of detective theme. But it's like this beautiful animated, like, point-and-click adventure style.
And it's got, like, a kind of Paper Mario-esque look to
it. For sure.
There's so many of those games coming out.
I saw the trailer the other night when we were prepping for this, and I was like, that sounds sick. It looks really cool, and they've got the noir like music and the voiceover and whatever else. So, my real answer, which is not like this game is not coming out this year, but every year they add more stuff to it, is Star Citizen. Like, like twice yearly, I'll go through a massive Star Citizen phase with all the stuff that they've added in the last since I last played it.
Yeah,
How much money have you spent on ships?
Under $1,000.
It's weird that that's the humble brag. It's that like
I think,
the
cutoff. I think it's under $1,000. It might be over $1,000. It's under $1,000 US.
Jesus.
See, I go, oh man, but then I remember very specifically re-downloading Kim Kardashian Hollywood app onto like an iPhone and like still having my like old Apple login and restoring purchases and seeing just how much like freaking Kim K fun bucks that showed up on my account, and I was like, oh no, how much money did I spend in this? Which is why I should never be trusted with anything ever.
How many space bucks have you got left, Josh?
Sorry.
How many fun space bucks have you got left?
I think you spend hard cash in that. Is there a currency, or do you just
No, because they're an alpha. Yeah. So the currency gets in-game currency gets wiped all the time.
Yeah. Right. It's literally just like playing credit
alpha.
Card. And
they've been in alpha.
Fair enough.
That's crazy.
And they will stay in alpha probably
for all time. Yeah.
Space. But no, the one that has that's gotten like millions of dollars. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris
Roberts.
Chris Roberts. Yep. He also made and we talked about this very briefly on Pocket Pals. My favorite game of all time is Freelancer. Which is an old school space sim that he made for Microsoft back in.
Do they scrapped with because I was going to ask, do you spend a lot of time? Is it in your ship management or on the ground running around with a gun? Because I thought that was the thing they were selling that as that's part of the adventure. As you get out of your ship, you run around. But then there was a spin-off late last year, wasn't there? That was like a first person shooter that was exclusively just an arena shooter that was built.
There are modes in the game that you can just go and modular. Do one thing.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Well, my question was do you actually? Do you spend equal amounts doing both? Do you prefer sitting in a ship or like flying it around?
Personally?
Yeah.
I love just exploring different ships because at the moment I have a few, but you can also like, you can make the in-game currency to buy or hire in-game ships.
Rent it for
every
like
patch.
Like you hire a Lambo when you go on holiday.
Yeah. And so you can explore those or...
When you say explore the ships, are you renting a ship and then wandering around on the ship looking at
some of them
it?
Are big enough that you can spend hours.
You could wander for... hours.
Okay. No, I'm with you. I'm on board. Like, you buy the ship. The idea with the ship is that it lets you explore space, but instead you're on the ship
exploring
like,
the ship,
looking at just the detail and, or and, kind it, of
yeah,
like...
They are They are gorgeous. And honestly, no other game dev, I've got some videos to show you. No other game dev is doing this scale. You know what I mean? Like what they're creating, the systems don't exist. So they've made the systems to be able to accommodate what they're trying to build.
That's wild.
Which is also why they keep asking for money.
I was gonna ask, is there a PO box for where you have to send your testicles to Chris Roberts once you become a simp for this game?
No, but I sent them to him
Spaceballs.
When I like
well before ago. They were asked before required.
No, I will say that Squadron 42 is their single player campaign standalone that's title right. that okay. is getting its own release.
Maybe that's and what so, I'm thinking of.
That has
so,
all the
so that
big
they,
actors attached to it as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's all the yeah. So yeah. Gary Oldman, Mark Hamill, you know, yeah. Gillian Anderson. I can't remember how to pronounce her name. Anyway.
Scully. It's Jif.
Jiffy and Anderson. Yep. That I think is coming out in probably early 2025. Mm. So that's actually not that far away. They came out and announced it at CitizenCon last year that it's featured.
That's Star Citizen's catchphrase. It's not actually that far away.
Yeah. Feature locked or something. And so now
they're talking about in the context of light years.
Yeah.
It's only 2 light years away.
Yeah.
But yes, a lot of their studios around the world that they have and developers have been working for the last couple of years on Squadron 42 specifically, and then once that's out, they're going to bring all of those systems across to Star Citizen.
Yeah, nice.
Pog, dude.
Poggers. Poggers.
That's Pog.
I want you to make a video tour of us.
Emoji
for us.
Yeah.
I can do that.
We'll play it on the show.
And that is the end of the show. Thank you guys for coming on the episode.
Not a problem.
No worries. I was in the room already.
Yeah. And I asked and, you know, it'd be kind of messed up if you said no.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have been answering emails about flights.
He just universal.
For the podcast, this says Peter just died inside on the couch.
And a big thank you to you for listening. If you're liking what you're hearing, you'd like to hear more, consider supporting Back Pocket over on Patreon. If you support us at the silver tier and above, you can get access to our bonus episodes. In this week's bonus episode, we'll be talking about the non-video game things we're keen for in 2024. And hey, if you really like what you're hearing, why not give us a 5-star rating on whatever podcast platform you're using? Better yet, why not give us a nice little review? You can also find us on Twitch, where we've got our main live show every Thursday from 7 p.m, and on TikTok, where we're constantly posting very good stuff for you to cast your big, beautiful eyes on. Then there's all the socials, which you're also welcome to get around. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in, and as me in 2024 would say, bye!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.